The Theory of Prolepsis, Dream of Consciousness and the Narrative of Metaphor by Jonas Ruta, Independent Curator and Art Theorist. Copyright 2010. The definition of prolepsis: anticipation as A. The representation or assumption of a future act or development as if presently existing or accomplished. B. The application of an adjective to a noun and the anticipation of the result of the action of the verb, as in while yon slow oxen turn the furrowed plain. C. In grammar, the use of the so-called future pluperfect tense. Example, by 10 p.m. I will have had supper. The origin of prolepsis. Greek prolepsis, prolambenine, to take beforehand. From pro, before, lambenine, to take, as lac. Middle English, lachen. From Old English, lachan. Akin to Greek lambenine, to take, seize. First known modern use, 1578. The purpose of this essay will not be to analyze dreams or to propose a symbolism of dreams, but to explain my narrative presentation of a sequence of dreams which create a panoramic and psychological story in novel form. In terms of the distinctions between dream experiences and events in the real, quote, material world, there appears to normal states of thought a dichotomy, which may require further exploration of how premonitions inherent in some dreams create a particular framework of time as it appears to the senses, compared with both the rational sense of time and the evolving of scientific understanding of time. As a literary device, the rhetorical principle of prolepsis is the same means used by the genre of science fiction, where events are built upon previous fictional a priori circumstances. But this principle can also be active as well in the past or present, such as in the archaeological or forensic discovery of previously unknown events. In some cases, a paradigm shift of historical perspective is thus produced. Heading: Prolepsis, the Rhetoric of Definition. Prolepsis is from the Greek prolambenine, which means literally to take something beforehand. In this seemingly obvious definition, we may discover both the principle and the effect of anticipation, the assumption or representation of a future act or eventuality as if it were already accomplished or existing. As with the function of the hand, from the Greek ancient hekrari, or modern hiri, or the Latin hensus, prolepsis means really the act of the mind to get or to grasp, in the possessive sense of seizing or holding something, the object of a thought, before that object has even begun to appear. In this principle of comprehension, in the hensile, meaning the brain acts as the extension of the hand, that is to say, where the brain relays back to the hand the enablement of its own will or emotional intention to touch, but more so in the certainty to have. In the 20th century, we watched this principle be carried to its monstrous extreme when the metaphor of atavistic darkness assumed itself to power in the abdication of enlightenment, when the force of naked certainty in the name of Adolf Hitler clad himself in the glorified will of tyranny and purposefully took the rhetorical device to rationalize a holocaust in the 20th century of immeasurable proportions of suffering and murder. Future generations thank us for our efforts, was the quote. It is this problem that we wish to explore, the bias in the possessive sense of reality itself, in psychology and society, the attention to possess reality in part, parcel, or in reality of property, as well as the appropriation of objects by a subject, becomes therefore the agenda of possession, which we might term, perhaps not so tongue-in-cheek, reality chauvinism. In the grammar of speech, prolepsis can occur as naturally as by the implication in the selection of a particular adjective to qualify a noun, either object or subject, where the result of the completion of this action of its verb is already anticipated. Oxen turn the furrowed plain. In the formal argumentation of classical rhetoric, prolepsis is a discipline which teaches the student to build into his opening proposition the responses of the possible objections to his argument in order to rebut them in advance, and thus preempt from his opponent or the effect or statement of those objections. We will also consider what it is in language that generates or enables the rhetoric of the objection. When the usage of an adjective clause following the preposition like or as remains within the realm of evident effects understood by its contemporary science, but more often pertinent to another type of association, that description is considered to enter the realm of poetic simile or likeness. A figure of speech expressed in a manner which is beyond the terms of likeness enters the dimensions of equivalence, identification, relation, or hyperbole, that is, metaphor. Could the evolved human form of consciousness ever be stated as a direct evolutionary result of a primitive exercise of human species brain power? The theory of behaviorism advanced in the 1950s, especially, appears in retrospect little more sensible than Bishop Berkeley's empirical theory in the 18th century that nothing exists in reality outside of what we individually perceive in the immediate, even as we move from room to room. On the evidence of simple survey, the data surely suggests that there are too many individuals perceiving concurrently and witnessing a consensus of events for the fabric of reality to be non-cohesive outside the range of one's presence. As well, we might conclusively say that it is our individual actions that impel each of us towards the object of our desire in various positive or negative actions. But it does not follow that there is no consideration of choice that takes place in the thought process. We do not blindly cast ourselves headlong in the direction of each and every stimulus, even as our appetite might suggest. Simply amplified brain aggression or brain posturing, the confidence contained in a subject's assertion of his own attributes or qualities as they previously exist by development, acquisition, or heredity, could only be made under the support of an ego formation which has been buttressed into an unconscious, submerged personality trait. In social situations, this phenomenon takes place by a method of feedback of the attention or praise given by one's listeners. The first subject preempts or captures the attributes of another subject before they have been made manifest in the interval of time it takes to speak. Prolepsis is also implied in the common transitive construction of every compound sentence in human language, where a subject has a direct object of discussion or possession. This assumption, if uncontested, becomes the very statement of possession. When C is held by B and B is held by A, then C is also held by A. The object of the discussion is held as a relation to the property of the subject, him, herself. That is the very meaning of definition. A bridge is desired to be built, and perhaps a foreign continent to be occupied. Can one not see the metaphor to the human body? Contrasting this form of aggression or territorial bordering, when epithet is used as a device of humor, from Greek epithanai, to put on, there is also the deliberate or spontaneous occurrence of prolepsis. This is the scheme which occurs often in speech, the substitution of one term by another more abstract, or ascribing or anticipating an insinuated condition or impending situation. To explore some of the inherent paradoxes of anticipation, I will use a discussion of the particular style of my own writing on dreams as a means to gauge the nature and grounds of knowledge and epistemology, and also to examine the limits and validity of physical matter, even as experienced in the dream state. These elements will also lead me into the later discussion of abstraction in art, as it is made of distinct objects from their non-objective or subjective perspectives. As one will stare into the facets of a crystal from time to time, or contemplate scientific and philosophical advances and the effect of an unfolding basis of existence, I accordingly hope to describe a principle of the normal forward motion of time, and then to propose an understanding of the intrinsic self as perceptive of the nature and presence of anticipation itself, harmonic with the unfolding of events. As a kind of mathematical proof, this essay was prompted by the insight of a geometric interaction of subtle forces, a revelation which occurred during a conversation with painter-writer Joey Tomorrow Ficchetta, sculptor Susan Schutan, and Andy Firk on the evening of January 28, 1992. This geometry, quote-unquote, was contained in the realization that the electric energy occurring during the thought of a creative idea in the brain could easily be viewed as a tangential line at a right angle to time. We view time in terms of relativity as the continuity of the arrival of light from a gravitational source. Depending on the source of a thought, whether perceptual or conceptual, the path of this line would flow either into or away from an instantaneous point in the stream of photons of light represented by the cyclic motion of the hands of a clock, or the marking of measured seconds in a digital timepiece. Being hard-pressed to explain my geometric perception in an analogy which everyone in the conversation found comprehensible, I will take the time now to provide background and evidence for this proof in the third section, Semantic Argument of the Dream, and then will recount parallels in older philosophical systems, quantum and physical science, in the section called Perpendicular Forces. Therefore, I owe this investigation to the instigation of my visual artist friends.